Did we only do this?
Kind of rock and roll.
Okay. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Can we all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have a moment of silent reflection, please? This is just a reminder that the meeting is being recorded and may appear on the internet. Also, a reminder, we are going to start videotaping next session. Is that a true statement? We said next meeting? Where'd Karis go? I think she said next meeting.
Yes, she said
yes.
Next meeting.
Yes.
So
James had some calibrations and whatnot to
next
do.
Next meeting.
Yes.
That's my public announcement. Okay. We have Senator Ruth Ward with us this evening. She outreached to us she wanted to come speak to the board regarding the impact of HB1 and HB2. So thank you, Senator Ward.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate you taking the time to come out.
Well, you may know as much as I do.
Oh.
Because the budget isn't finished yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much. I think what probably what I would like to find out is what are the really big concerns that this particular district has. Because I've talked to some other school districts, and for them, one of the big issues has been the responsibility to pay for severely disabled children that have to go out to the 24/7 residential treatment plus education. And for them, that has been a huge burden on the tax. So that has been a concern for at least two of them that I have been speaking to. So I'm sort of curious what your concerns are for your district. I can tell you how the advocacy grant, how that is planned and where the money comes from and how much goes to each child and what the school districts get from the different funds that are planned. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you know about it, what the plans are.
Do you want to share with us a little bit about it?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
I have, obviously, and I would think that you would have access to also exactly what your money is coming in. How much is allotted to Hillsborough, the whole district during,
mm-hmm.
and whatever else you have. How much for each child, how many children you have with the English learning needs, IEPs, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have charts if you need them. If you already have them, please let me know because you don't need to have them though. And then I have a summary of the proposed education funding, the changes in HB2. And from the base to the different things coming in, the statewide education property tax is swept, and what's happening this fiscal biennium, and what's going to happen the next one, and stabilization grants, and what else is going to happen with those kinds of things. And I have that here. And I'll be happy to, once or five people, so I may not have those. But one of the things that I have, you have to understand, I'm not on the fiscal committee. I have sat in on some of the hearings, so I know, and I know from my own, I'm sitting on the education committee, so I know what some of the concerns are. And from most of them I hear is, we need more money, it costs too much. Now, I had two requests in the governor's budget for one of the districts. And as far as I was concerned, those were two issues that had to do with school safety, with a new fire alarm system, and also another room to take care of, increase the amount of kids with autism that they could handle. well, the governor's budget was just sort of ignored and pulled right back into the House budget, and all those appropriations were put in with the rest of the requests, so I haven't heard anything about those. My understanding is that the stabilization grants, there are two requests, two bills that were in the Senate to have those stabilization grants go back to the 2016 level, which would be a nice, somewhat increase for the different school districts. I haven't seen them being taken up yet. They're laid on the table in the Senate, and I'm waiting to see what happens in the Finance Committee. Those are should be a nice increase for each school district per child to help with the, thank you, for the school districts. And then I learned that the stabilization grants are going to be phased out, and then something else is going to come in called, what did they call it? They had a name for it. So right now, if everything goes well, that stabilization grant should be coming back in for this until fiscal year 20 and until 21. And then for the year 2021, the next one, that is going to be repealed and some other form of support is coming to the schools. And, you know, that, of course, is still up in the air. The adequate education aid, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of people have said it's not really adequate for any child with that, with $3,600. I would say it's a base cost that's figured out how much would it cost. And I have a list here. How do you plan? How do you figure out what the base cost is for that the state eventually will give to, for each child in the district? And it has to do with all kinds of things like what is the teacher's salary? How much does it cost for the different levels of children? The K-2, how much is for 3 to 12? How much is the principal salary? How much is that coming in? How much are the benefits to these people? And all of those things go into what the base cost would be for each child. And then you have all the other professions added, like guidance counselor, media specialist, technology coordinator, and all those, all the kind of staff that is needed in the school to educate the children. For each child will be a certain percentage, and that goes into plan. So what is the base cost that we have to pay? And then you add on to the number of children who have free and reduced lunch, how many of those and how much does the state pay for them? Children who have not reached an adequate third grade reading level, how many kids who are not really proficient in the English language. And then it goes on and on and on. And then at the end, how much property taxes is the town taking in? And how much does it cost to educate each child? Taking the number of kids in the school system, multiply with the base cost. And if you're taking in property taxes less than what the cost is for educating the children, then the state will give you that difference. If you're taking in more in property taxes than you need, then you don't get anything at all. So that's pretty much how things are set up. I have seen parts of the House budget, and I know that they had a lot of things going into it, and I know they're planning on certain things. They are planning on a capital gains tax, and they were hoping, they actually put down $150 million in the capital gains tax. When they discussed the possibility of capital gains tax with the DRA said probably $90, maybe $95 million of it, but then some other caveats was answered, well, if we do this and how much and what, do this and this and that, then we may, then the DRS, you may get up to 150. So the House picked the higher number, which I think is not going to be very accurate. That is sort of a pipe dream, probably. It's probably more realistic for figuring on 90 to 50, 90, 95. I just heard that the business taxes have brought in much more than expected revenue for this year. So we'll see what happens with that money when that is going to be used. So with that, I'm assuming that you know exactly how much each child gets for all these different services. Yes?
Yeah, well, it's we get 36.36 as our base rate,
right.
And then
you
we get into...
You know how much you get for free and reduced lunch?
Yes.
Yes. So I have these things if you want them, or
we
can
have.
Just take them back home.
I think we have.
Have
sounds
them?
Like, it sounds like
we have
the people that need them have them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. So what can I do? What are some of the big issues with you as far as school funding?
Yeah.
Sure.
Some of the concerns that we have is you've mentioned overturning the 4% per year decrease in the stabilization fund. 4% for Hillsborough Dairying is about $225,000 a year, every year. So if we go 4 years losing $225,000 in revenue, that's $900,000 more. I have to ask the taxpayers to subsidize the cost of schools, and the cost of schools is not going down.
Right.
So when you get into year six, now we've got, 1.25 million dollars that we're getting less from the state. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big problem for us. The funding for the adequacy, does that include transportation?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Does it include costs for administrative services, the costs for superintendents, business managers, et cetera, which are requirements if you're going to manage a $22 million operation? Those aren't considered as part of the adequacy formula. Free and reduced, we get that. Low reading level, we get that. ESL, we get that. I don't think we have any this year. I think that the other concern that we have is the astronomical cost that's been passed on to the real estate tax bill. When the state stops providing a 35% reimbursement to the New Hampshire Municipal Employees Retirement Association, when we hire an employee and we have to pay 17.5% on top of their salary to the New Hampshire retirement system, that is an absolutely huge burden on the taxpayers in this community. So those are some of the ones that I would rattle off at the top of my head. That's our biggest downfall. I can't imagine what it would be like 20 years from now for the superintendent that's sitting in this seat if they've got to come up with an 80% decrease in stabilization money, because it would be 20 times $225,000, and that is a very, very scary proposition for a community like Hillsborough.
But that's the one that we're trying to get back to.
That's the one that trying to get overturned and bring that one back.
A lot of people have said that should be possible. So there's a lot of support, at least in the Senate, for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Finance Committee has taken a look at it yet, because this last time I saw it, those two bills were still on the table.
Right.
So I don't know at what point that's coming up, but that is something that a lot of people have asked for. It will give a tremendous boost.
Yeah.
You asked about the salaries. You have teachers, principal, administrative assistant, guidance counselor, library, technology coordinator, custodian, instructional materials, technology, teacher professional development, facilities operation, maintenance, transportation is actually in there.
Okay.
So the total per pupil universal cost. So that's all of those things are in.
And
that
came out to 36.36 per child?
Yeah, something like that.
When it's costing about $18,000 a year to educate a child.
I know.
So that's the math problem that I struggle with. That how do you say you're providing an adequate education if your base formula is 20% of the actual cost? That's the struggle we have. You asked what struggles would happen. These are the ones that we have, because I think what's happened in our community as well as across the state is that taxpayers are turning against themselves because they're so pressured with these astronomical real estate taxes. A property poor town such as Hillsborough, where the average home may go for $250,000, your tax rate has to be so high to come up with the dollar figure. It makes real estate a horrible investment. Yet if you're in Sunapee and you're on a lake, or you're in a mountain, you're in Guilford, it's an entirely different world. And people who have a home that's valued at $2.5 million, you're doing tax a person on a house that's worth $250,000. Your tax rate is just unconstitutional, which
we'd
already went
there
once.
I told them there was no way that they would want to get any extra money because they were already taking in more and really in the property taxes than they needed for the schools. And that was not received
happily.
Yeah. And then it's a small town not very far from here that had one child with an extremely disabled child who needed 24/7 care, and the district had to pay for it. Then they got another child this semester. So all of a sudden, there's this huge burden on them. And they have no industry, not even a tax, not a gas station, or a small village store. So there is nothing else in this little town except property taxes.
This town has been extraordinarily financially supportive of special education. You know, we do get some money from, I call it circuit breaker, but what's the name for it, Patty?
Yeah. You mean IDEA?
No, the money that comes back if we exceed
a certain
catastrophic aid. The state's only paying us about 66% of what the formula is. That's nothing that one neighbor did to another neighbor here because they had 10 children. That's something that the state is not living up to its obligation on a catastrophic aid formula. Those are the things that I'm seeing, that you have a formula that says if you get a child that has very expensive needs and exceeds the formula, there's a formula for that, and the state is supposed to reimburse you something, but you're lucky if you get 66% of what the formula that the state is supposed to honor. Mm-hmm. Is they're not giving you a third of what the statute says it's supposed to give you.
I'd like to break in here.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's one of my big concerns is out of district placements. Mm-hmm. The budget's already set, a couple kids come in or go out to a different district. I think it's time the state took over the out of district placements. The state can easily take their money that they're going to give to Crotchet Mountain and they could give it to Spalding. Vice versa. It's hard for the districts to go back and forth between districts. If the state took that over, but regional areas, I mean, you don't want to send a kid from here to Berlin, but regional areas, and the state could administer the money. Okay, last minute, kid leaves Sunapee, goes to Hillsboro, you switch the money. Mm-hmm. And it's not in our budget. It's not in any part of our budgets. We don't have to be concerned. The state has that budget, and they pay whoever is doing the work. Mm-hmm. And
I did ask about this particular thing, you know, when you have a child that needs a lot of extra money to take care of. And what happens, and I said, well, how come this child now moved in this semester? How come the money wasn't coming from the other district over to this school? And they said, that's not the way it works. The school with this child will have to collect all the receipts of expenses, and then it gets to the Department of Education after the semester is finished. Then somebody there will go through all the receipts and figure out which ones are we paying for and which ones are we not paying for. And when they have figured that out, they have a sum of money that may come to you that following January. So I said, is there any way that you can do things like figure these things out and maybe pay on a quarterly basis? Because I said it's awfully hard for a school to wait. I have this kid now for the spring mm-hmm. semester. I'm going to have to wait until next January. Well, that's the way it is, because somebody, they have to look at all the receipts.
But if the state takes it over, they can pay the vendors directly.
Yeah, but who is the state?
Pardon?
Who is the state? Who in the state is going to do it? They still need to look at what the costs are.
We had a student move from Maine a few years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. And we were told it was going to be $500,000, an out-of-district, heavy needs student, $500,000.
Yep.
Now, when you construct your budget, you don't have that type of contingency in your budget.
Yep.
I mean, and to Paul's point, the state has a lot more money in its coffers than we do to be able to absorb that type of thing. As soon as we hear that, we go in panic mode, because we're going to get $500,000 in November or December when you built your budget. That's a big, there is no contingency. I mean, you're almost better off buying a house for these people outside of your district. Say, we'll buy you this house. You go there. That way we don't have to deal with it. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible problem that I think every district in this state has. We just can't do that.
I understand it absolutely thoroughly. I have suggested that maybe what we should have is a separate pot of money for the education of severely disabled children who need out-of-district placement. But I think for a small district or any district to have, and you can't even plan on it beforehand, who is going to come in, especially have somebody coming in the second semester where you're not planned for it at all. What do you do?
Exactly.
So I have some questions, and I'm talking to people about what can be done. But I can see that there are kids with IEPs, and I think that most schools can handle the routine, the easy ones. But when it comes to these kids who really need out of district placement, and then you're supposed to pay for it. And that's tough, and especially if you move from one district to another. And I said, how about if that district pays that money? Well, they haven't gotten it yet, so they can't pay it. It's very cumbersome, and rules and regulations, and it's, you know, to cut through it and get doing something effectively, it's just a big thing.
Does anybody else have any other input they want to chime in? I know Bob lives and breathes this every single day, so he knows it very intimately, but I think...
We live it as superintendents, and we meet monthly with the superintendents in the southwest corner of New Hampshire, and we all pretty much have the same challenges that I described, that the 35% of all the retirements in the state of New Hampshire for employees has been passed off to the real estate tax bill, and that's just wrong on so many levels. The fact that the state's not meeting its obligation on what basic inadequate education is, $36.36 per child, is an absurd number. It's 20% of the actual cost. The eliminating, and hopefully that'll happen, that the stabilization fund will return to it. But looking down the road, I'm 67. I can't imagine what a superintendent's going to do if 10 years down the road they have to ask the taxpayers for $2.2 million more than we're getting this year because the state decided they weren't going to try to keep the stabilization fund for the adequacy formula that wasn't fair in the first place. So it's piling on. Where do you turn? The cost of special education is a factor, but so isn't the cost of transportation and a whole lot of other increases that are happening. If the Conval case, and as long as we're on the topic of budget, if the Conval case were to be successful, what would the state do as far as that? You had mentioned a number, and I'm a little hard of hearing, so you had mentioned a number that the state revenue taxes that the state generates was, and business taxes, I believe you referred to it as, was dramatically higher.
It was higher than they had expected.
What was that number?
I think 60 million is what I remember.
60 million, but when I asked another senator where that came from, they weren't able to give me an answer. And my concern was that this year, when the state is flush with a surplus in taxes, we get, let's say we get half of that. The following year, there's no predictor that $60 million is going to happen again, which is why it bounces back to maintaining a formula that you do with fidelity. That if you have a formula that you're going to really pay for adequacy, then you pay it. You don't say, oh, we got a Band-Aid this year. We had a big increase, but no one can explain where this, I thought it was hundreds of millions, came from. And that's great. That's a temporary fix. But 5 years down the road, that may not be there. You asked who's the state. We're all the state. We all pay a dollar to leave the state. We all pay a dollar to come back in. We all pay a meals tax. Okay, if you put somebody up in a hotel, you're paying a hotel cost. You're paying taxes on Capline right now. If you happen to have a stock portfolio, you are paying some taxes on that. The state owns all the liquor stores, So when we say the state, that's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at a state that owns every liquor store in the entire state, yet we can't generate enough money to pay for an adequate education, even though it made it to the Supreme Court and it was found that we were in constitutional violation. That's the struggle I think that we all have. And what I see is, I've only been in this community 7 years, but I see people fighting amongst themselves. And it's always the schools, or it's the police, or it's the fire department, or it's the roads, or we're spending too much paving the parking lot. We're fighting amongst ourselves when the reality of it is we're just not getting a fair shake from the state. It's overwhelming.
So let me just play the devil's advocate. Do you see any way, any area where you could actually cut the cost for education?
Cut the cost for
education?
Oh, that's come to our budget season. That's they eat me alive every year from September to December. Okay. Come and watch. Watch me get skinned. I mean, I'll just use one person as an example. I'll come up with a number and we will labor. I will beat up my administrators like there's no tomorrow. Do you really need that position? Can we consolidate this? What if we take two jobs and put them together? We do that every single year. Okay. And then I come to the board and let's say it's 3% and they don't like that number. Okay, well, I don't like it either. I don't like my oil bill. So to play the devil's advocate, yeah, come and watch. We do it every year. Every town across this state, superintendents work with their administrative team to take a look at that. And generally, I think if you looked at the value of property in Hillsborough, 7 years ago, it was a two-year run, where the value of property in Hillsborough dropped 10% each year, 2 years in a row. So your house is worth 20% less than it was, your nest egg, okay? But your tax rate's gonna go up for you to get the same services. Because the tax rates, the taxes are based on what your property's worth. The tax rate has to adjust to that, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, you're paying more taxes, okay, on a house that's worth less. How can you help us with that one? That's the dilemma New Hampshire's in. And the poor property value towns are really the ones that are suffering. The people with a lot of money that live on Lake Sunapee, that make $2 million a year, don't pay any income tax. But the guy who's living on Social Security, and I could give you the names probably of three people right off the top of my head, 85-year-old people who are living on Social Security, and the real estate tax is taking half of what they have, or more. Yeah.
How do you feel about the capital gains tax?
Well, it depends on what the capital gain's going to be. What's the number?
I thought it was going to be 5% on any capital gains, and I was told by somebody the other day, no, they thought that if you had a capital gains of $25,000 or more, then you would pay a capital gains tax. So I need to find that out.
Yeah, I think that there's a solution, and it's got to be at the state level, because, boy, I'll tell you, these small towns have worked their rear ends off trying to find ways to save money and yet provide a quality education, provide up-to-date buildings, technology for the kids. They're our future. They're the ones who are going to be taking care of us in the nursing homes. They're the ones who are going to fix our cars. Yep. And they deserve a quality education. And we need the state to step to the plate.
We need them because they're better at technology.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
So you would like to know how much that money was coming in that was above the expected?
Well, I believe the numbers that I saw in Reaching Higher in New Hampshire was $2 million to Hillsborough over a three-year period of time and about $185,000 for the town of Deering. Does that sound correct? If that new budget passes with the amendment on it or addendum to it that added additional funding?
So you think there's $200 million coming to Hillsborough?
Two million.
$2 million.
We wish it was $200 million.
Yeah, we would. That would be very, very nice.
But we'll take it.
So $2 million.
I believe it to be $2 million. $2 million, correct. Yeah.
2.4 and 6.
Yes.
Deering is a different tax rate. They're part of our cooperative.
Right. So you said there was money coming just for Deering.
What yes. What was it? 180. I think it's in the Reaching Higher, Ed.
Somewhere for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable saying about 180,000.
Okay. So Deering. What about Washington and Windsor? Well, part of your district, right?
Yeah, Windsor is a very, very tiny town. They don't have a fire department. They don't have a police department. They don't have a road crew. They don't have a school. They have a lovely little town hall. They only send us a handful of kids. So the actual revenue that they'll see on their tax base, it's not something we usually get into. It's only a few hundred people in the whole town. And they send their kids here pre-K to 12. Washington didn't qualify for some of the things that we looked at.
They didn't receive stabilization money. So.
At all.
Right.
So they go from K to fifth grade, I believe.
Yes, Washington.
Yes. They come here afterwards.
Pre-K to 5 is Washington. They have about 42 students. Their budget's about $2 million a year. And the kids come from 7 through 12.
Okay. Yep. So you like to be sure exactly how much money you want to get.
That's the ballpark. If the numbers that I'm seeing, that I'm reading and reaching higher, New Hampshire and that sort of thing are corrected, we should see about
2.2.
Something in that ballpark, yeah. Which would be a godsend, quite frankly, because it's sure a heck of a lot better than what we're getting right now.
Okay. And if the stabilization fund gets put back in?
Well, the last figure we looked at when we calculated it was a year or two ago was $225,000 a year. We've lost in revenue for the last few years. It was frozen this past year, or it was going to be frozen this year. It was hope. But I mean, going into a budget season, the superintendent is looking at going to the public and saying, before we do anything, I need $225,000. We're getting nothing for it. I'm not adding any teachers. I'm not adding any technology. But I'm going to need $225,000 more than you gave me last year. And that was going to go on for 25 years. I don't want to be around then.
And then, I mean, the question that comes up then from committee members is, committee members, they have that assumption of, aren't property taxes supposed to fund education? But if that's the case, why are we then, why are the budgets going up and that money is having to come from other places? If property taxes is supposed to cover the true cost. So a lot of times it just gets really confusing because it's hard for us to, we literally have to stand and explain why we're looking for more money and why we're not getting that money from the state so that we can, build that case. I mean, we need that to keep the quality of our education in the districts, so that,
in some towns, the property taxes covers the educational cost, but in many towns, it doesn't even get close to it.
Especially the rural districts, the smaller towns.
If you have a mountain or a lake, there's a pretty good chance your property values are millions of dollars, and you're in a different boat. We're talking apples to oranges when you look at a Berlin, New Hampshire, where the property values are just absolutely rock bottom. Percentage tax rate that you have to pay in a place like that to provide the minimum services is incredible.
Could I throw out one place to get some extra money from the state? I may be the only one in the room for this, but I think it's time to bring in the casinos to New Hampshire.
And we're going to have sports betting pretty soon. I don't know where that money is going.
I know Maine and Massachusetts have it. I know a lot of people that go down to Massachusetts and Maine.
Right.
We might as well have it here and keep the money here.
Well, that's the way that Senator D'Alessandro feels. He's been working on it for 20 plus years.
Yep, I know. I talked to him a few times.
Yep, that is one of his big things. Yeah. The Keno has not done as well as was hoped, and that was going to go to pay for the kindergarten. So I think what has happened is that the Keno is going to go for the building aid fund, and they're going to have each kindergarten child counted as a regular student with the same base adequacy money for that. So
We're looking at it. We've got all these different Keno and some of these other ways of providing extra funding, and you mentioned capital gains, and I know some of the discussions I've heard too on that is that some of the predictions are high, could create enough funding to cover the districts. But on the other hand, it's not consistent, and it's not something that's going to, it's not going to, affect every household.
Right.
So it could be, less than half of what the Department of Revenue was anticipating. So it's not, the court's not, the jury's not out on it in terms of if it's going to provide the revenue, projections that they're looking for to project. I mean, it's sort of another piece of the pie, throwing something at it instead of looking at the whole education funding formula as a whole and how that affects all the districts, from the the districts in Sotheby's, the larger districts, the districts that can raise plenty of money based on where they are, as well as the smaller districts in rural areas. So it's something we almost need to really kind of look at, you know.
But I think whenever you have an estimate, you can't really count on it because something could happen. It could be a stock market crash. It could be all kinds of things happening. And then all of a sudden you sit there and the revenue that you had counted on isn't coming through. So how do you prepare for that?
Yeah.
So it's not an easy thing to do. But I'll be happy to find out some of these things. And hopefully the budget will be through pretty soon. I know they've had a couple of public hearings in Concord and Manchester. And the Senate will be working on it. And you may find out before I do.
So what is, so I know the budget went from the House. Has the Senate, is the Senate still deliberating? Is there any feel for what they're looking to add, change, anything like that?
Yeah, they've had meetings with each department.
Okay.
Has come through the district committee.
Okay.
And they got questions. They have their department's budget and they mm-hmm. question. Or yes, you did meeting. You do that. What are you going to do here? And then they had just now, I think, two public hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should be fairly soon finished with the input from the different departments.
Okay.
And then the committee has to sit down and figure out how much it is, where the money is coming from. Every time we have a vote on the Senate floor that has to do with money, Lou D'Alessandro keeps telling us, remember, there's only so much money, and if you want money for this, we may have to take the money from something else. So that's how it's at. And I'm really curious what the budget is going to look like when it comes.
Yeah, as board members, we all got, I think all the board members in the state, but the five of us got emails from stating that there's a public hearing tomorrow, I guess, in the Senate Finance on House Bill 1 and House Bill 2.
It could be.
Yeah, okay. So, so they were encouraging folks to come, either way, to kind of speak to the needs, kind of like what
it's
we're...
It's always interesting to hear the arguments and what people are just, talking about and what they want. So I think that's one of the nice things that the public has access to the hearings and can voice their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have heard from enough school districts and local school boards about they need money. They need
absolutely.
They just can't.
Yeah.
They can't raise enough money from the property tax.
Is there much discussion around any sort of broad-based tax?
I think if you listen to Walensky and Tobin, they have had some meetings, open meetings, and they talk about education funding 101, and I think they're sort of hinting at it.
Any other questions, comments from board members or for us?
Okay. All set?
Well, thank you very much for taking the time and coming
out
to see
you.
Call me or send me an email if you have some specific questions.
Thank you.
I can usually find out.
Okay.
Because I know enough people on these different committees that I can just ask them, okay, tell me.
Understood.
So I'll be happy to help out in any way I can.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll give you my card here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Okay. Josh, you're up.
Yeah.
Student report, please.
Well, everyone's back from April break.
Yes.
So that was a pretty smooth transition, all things considered. I showed up a bit late. I was away with the DECA. We had our international competition in Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We had three finalist teams, fourth place internationally in restaurant and sports entertainment, and eighth place in retail.
Okay.
That went well. I know the eighth grade just got back from their Washington, D.C. trip.
Yep.
Which I hear went very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I forgot my paper with all of this.
So you're doing it on.
So I'm doing it off of what I remember.
Okay.
And I know Mr. O'Rourke and the folks at the high school have their podcast out, which is.
Yes, I heard the promo for.
School.
I listened to the promo for that today.
Yes.
Highly encourage you guys to check that out.
That's what I remember off the top of my head,
okay.
So I apologize for
Thank
the
you.
Lack of preparation. I forgot the paper at all.
Thank you. Any other student? Did you have any other rep?
Yeah, just what Mr. Peterson shared with me, that the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier was, is that correct? Was that the big hit?
The Tomb of the Unknown.
Well, briefly, we were
on a waiting list for 2 years, and we were finally up this year, and it was phenomenal. The soldiers, you go about a half hour ahead of time, and one of the soldiers who's not on duty, there's a pavilion, and that's where their quarters are when they're, and he was so good at taking our my four students through a practice with him. He did it twice, couldn't have been more welcoming. And then the sergeant of arms, when he came up, a very large sergeant of arms, but he was so good. I was standing right there. He was so good with the students and introducing, and I took pictures, and EF company that we've used, they took care of everything. So they found out we were on board for a wreath laying ceremony, and there was our Hillsboro during middle school, right in front of the Tomb of the Unknown for the ceremony, and at the end when he's marching with our four students back up to the pavilion, then he had me pushing 6'5", but reached down, shook every student's hand, and said, "Thank you for wanting to honor American soldiers."
That's powerful for them.
Yeah, it really was. And again, no matter where we were at, we also, we researched, there were three soldiers from Hillsboro that were killed in action in Vietnam. And there weren't any from Deering, Windsor, or Washington. But for the students, we had three cards to thank them for their service.
Nice.
And that was nice that they could learn how to find names on the panels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a busy time, and you're hearing students and some commotion, and not one at the time was it our students. And again, it's the fourth trip I've made with them, and again, they just do such an outstanding job. But yeah, for that experience of, one soldier was 21 that was killed, I think, in 66, and, these kids aren't that much younger than that soldier.
Yeah.
And just how they conducted themselves, and it's such a great experience. So.
Can I ask, maybe you said this and I missed, how many students went?
This year was typically we take about 60, 65, about two-thirds of the class. This year I was only 45, which was the smallest in at least my 5 years at Hillsboro. I don't know if that's part of the holiday weekend when we left, yeah.
Correspondence?
Nope. Yeah, recognition.
Correspondence is next.
Yes, I don't have any.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what? Recognition. Now you can do recognition.
Okay, I'd like to recognize Carolyn Stiles. She, from Cornell University, has successfully completed the Environmental Education Outcomes, which is a professional development online course, and hats off to her. It's a really great program for her to bring back stuff for the kids to make them more conscious of the environment that we live in and the delicacies of it.
Okay. Any other recognitions? Is that it? Mm-hmm. Any presentations?
No.
Public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Are there any public comments at this time? Okay. Is there any response to the zero public? Nope. Board discussion items. Chris, can you go over the policy update that we need to review, please?
Yep. The policy update, it's actually DAF, Administration of Federal Funds Grant. Again, it's the first reading tonight, so we're not done with it. We'll come back for two more meetings for the next reading and then the vote. It's kind of pulling together some of the things that we have been executing as far as procedures. Yeah, but we don't necessarily have the overall policies for it. So in order to receive federal grants, they want us to have this in place. And so it's easier. I think we're talking back and forth. We'll be applying this to pretty much most of our grant funds. It's not that we haven't been doing it. It's just that we haven't necessarily had it all as one policy. I think we've got them scattered in different policies throughout. So this just kind of ties them together. We went through and kind of pulled some of the references, pulled things like the designees, And it's pretty much, you know, the policy committee was unanimous with putting it through. I think there'll be some other pieces of it coming too, because this helps with, you know, the federal grant processes, and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why we wanted to get this passed in the next few weeks. But that's the federal government was asking for it, for us to continue receiving grant funds. So if anyone has questions. It is, and there's plenty of, we had it last week, but since it is the first reading, we've got plenty of time to kind of look at it if other questions come up. Or you can always talk to me in between, too.
Any comments, questions? Page 3-2, there's more semantics. They reference, because I wasn't at the policy meeting because I was having surgery, they reference throughout the entire document, with the exception of that one, as CRF Part 2, but that's the only section that references as Part 2.
Is it on page 3?
Page 3, number 2, it just says principles in Part 2. Can we just be consistent across the entire thing? Yep, it just says Part 200. I'm sorry, Part 200.
Yeah.
It doesn't say CRF. It's, but in the rest of the document, it says CRF 2, Part 200.
I'm still not finding it.
What page are you on?
Page 3. Number 2.
Right,
it just says Part 200. It doesn't say CRF.
Okay.
It's small in semantics, but it does say CRF the rest of the document.
Yeah, that's one thing we did kind of made some other changes to and kind of tighten that up. So.
Yeah. And like I said, I probably would have brought it up at the policy, but I wasn't there.
Right.
Yep. Any other?
The federal government's good at saying things in one area, but not saying it.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have questions? It's a meaty policy.
It just says on the bottom of page 9, it says you must have, I'm reading this right, 2 or more responsible bidders. What if you only get one?
That's a good point. For sealed bidding. Page 9.
Patty's our expert at that, if you don't mind calling Patty.
Yep. Patty, can you answer that question?
There's a couple things that you can do for that. Is if you put it out for a bid, as long as it's been publicly done correctly, that's considered okay. You did your due diligence there.
Yeah.
One of the other pieces for lower amounts and some of the other grants that they're starting to put out for us to do, we're actually calling, if you call, email, we're reaching out to contracted agencies to say we got our 3 bids. But they did say if you put it out publicly,
yeah,
you're okay. If you don't have the 3 bids, it's not your fault. You follow the process.
So do we need to reword that because it doesn't state that, or are we covered? Because it's kind of wishy-washy there.
Well, this is what you're shooting for.
Okay.
Right. The goal is to have 3 bids. Whether or not you actually get 3 bids, it's the same as how our other policies work now. I mean, we have that policy of looking for, you know, it's that process. As long as we've actually put it out and posted it, we can't control what we're going to receive back.
Yeah.
Of course, this one is talking about $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
over.
Yeah. That one's the over.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it changes the what they're looking for changes based on the amount, correct?
Yeah, that's substantial.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. You know, so we're doing our inventory no less than once every 2 years, right?
Records? Are you talking records?
On page 16. It's about inventory. I can see.
They have their own. I mean, again, I'll pass it back so Bob and Patty can chime in. But they have their expectations of what they want us to do for inventory. But we did kind of talk about this. We have our own process as well. So it's, you know, just a matter of, you know, the things that are received and paid for by federal funds, that's how they want it done. Am I correct?
What's that?
Page 16.
Yeah. Each of the grants do things differently. And actually, they used to expect us to do inventory items 250 equipment,
yeah,
250 over, and they've raised. raise that now to 5 to the top of the even going to 10. So they're talking big items again, which I can tell you in this district we aren't spending that type of money on it.
Per item.
Per item. And this is it even when you're doing all, when we're buying all these Chromebooks and everything.
Yeah.
It's actually, this is new information and this is lowering the expectation that we would have to have for the grants.
Someone's done every 2 years, I guess.
On our own, we have our own inventory control process too. You know, so this is basically just what they're looking for based on, you know, the dollar amounts of the equipment.
Anybody else? Any more?
Are we all set with
that one for now?
Yeah, that's the only thing that we have for now. We'll probably have some more next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yep. Okay, so we need to circle back for the next item is the circle back on the finalizing the plumbing project funding. So, Lori, you were not here at the last meeting, and one of the questions that came up was the amount that was left. What was this? Is it the surplus amount? I think it was projected estimated surplus.
Right, and it is a little early for that. We did cut off accepting discretionary requisitions that was cut off mid-April.
Okay.
But we're working on reviewing our open purchase orders to see what we can close out.
Okay.
And so I should have some sort of preliminary number for you at the next board meeting.
Okay.
Which is consistent with when it's been provided.
So as a board, where do we want to go from here? We had already had our public hearing to take the funding for this project from the emergency fund. We did not finalize that vote because we wanted to hear from Lori as to what the surplus might look like. Are we comfortable moving forward with having a vote tonight to talk about taking it from the emergency fund?
What's the rush? We can wait 2 weeks, right? I mean, it's not going to hurt the project. We're going to fund it. It's just wait which bucket's going to come from.
Yeah, but it wouldn't hurt to do it tonight either.
I agree.
Well,
I think
if we're going to take it from the maintenance fund, it would be helpful to be able to submit the request and receive the reimbursement within a single fiscal year. It's cleaner for audit purposes and end of year.
How much do we have in the fund?
We have, I believe it was about $200,000.
I don't think it's that much.
They talked about the maintenance fund as opposed to the emergency.
Are we talking the emergency fund or the maintenance fund? Are they two?
The emergency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
I just want. Yeah. Thank you.
Personal perspective is we've had a public hearing and we've said that we wanted to take it from the emergency fund. Transparency's sake, I would feel comfortable moving forward as is, but like I said, we need to vote and
there's
differing opinions.
Yeah, it was posted and presented as that, so I concur in that rationale too. And we potentially will be reimbursed anyway, so those monies will, I imagine, go back to the emergency fund, or will they go back to
We've submitted a grant funds, an application for grant funds, that they will cover up to 50% of the cost of the approved program, so, and remediation. So we would potentially receive up to 50% of those grant monies.
Does that goes back into the emergency fund?
I would start with just pulling out 50%, and then if the grant didn't cover it all, then I would pull out more. It's not good to pull out the grant, the money from the trust if we're not going to be using it.
That way, if we
can close it.
So, did you find that figure by any chance?
No.
Do you want us to come back?
I don't have
my
budget book.
Okay.
I might not find it in this.
If I remember, I think the balance was.
I don't think it exceeded $200,000, but I think it was pushing, like maybe between $175 and $200,000.
See, I thought it was like $165. We took money out of
it.
Either way, I mean, if we're talking 50% of the project, isn't the project 46, 48?
Yeah.
We got $35,000.
Up to 50.
So can we move forward with voting on this as an action item tonight?
Sure.
I'm fine.
Yes, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Any other comments on the funding for the plumbing? Okay. Summer retreat. So I'm a planner and I have things written down. So we were starting to discuss, we need to decide as a board, do we, A, want a summer retreat? If that's a yes, when do we want to do that? Where do we want to do that? And what types of things are we looking to discuss and spend time on? So I guess the first question would be, does this board want to have a summer retreat?
Sure.
Okay. Rich. Paul says yes. Rich, what's your thought?
It's fine with me.
Perla? Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a date? I think last year we did it at the end of July-ish, if I recall. Does that kind of ballpark time frame?
How's the school calendar look again at the time?
The two best dates from the school end were July 15th and 16th.
Okay.
Those are the two best days.
Okay. Does anybody have any issues with either of those dates?
Is this an all-day event? What do we do? Evening?
Typically, it's usually,
late afternoon, evening.
4 o'clock till about 8.
Yeah.
Earlier.
It's a chunk of time, but not an all-day adventure.
Okay.
Unless you want it to be.
Maybe we can look at those two dates at home, check with everybody, come back and find those.
Yeah, does that sound like a fair?
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody has their summer calendars out.
Yeah, my summer calendar doesn't really change. So,
okay.
You know, I'd have to take time off.
Okay.
So it would be best if we could put a Friday in there for me, but.
Can you check to see if there's a Friday available?
Yep.
And then we can come back at the next meeting. Is that fair? For a date?
Yeah, if we stick to July, well, it's only 3 Fridays anyway, so.
Okay. Okay.
Depending on the school.
So we'll circle back on the date and potentially the location if we want to do it on campus. Is that correct? Thoughts on what you guys want to spend time discussing?
Legislative actions.
Okay. Community outreach, I think we talked about that.
Yeah, so what Earla had brought up too in terms of that whole and with firm action on it afterwards.
Any other thoughts right at the moment? Okay, so homework assignment, ponder topics that we want to spend some time on, dig into a little bit more at a longer depth, and then when we circle back on this at next agenda, we can talk about the topics as well as the date and stuff. Does that sound fair?
Potentially, too. We kind of, you know, maybe something with curriculum, too, you know, but just nothing detailed at this point, just kind of in general. Yeah.
So a show by Miss Jen?
Yeah. Possibly, yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Okay.
If she's available.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that? So check calendars, and then think about things as a board we want to talk about. Work? Okay. Superintendent's report.
Okay. as long as we're talking about community outreach, I want to just thank Dr. Crawford because I posted a couple of weeks ago the Wakelet on the Hillsborough community page, and I got a lot of looks and a lot of likes and thumbs up sorts of things. So I was able to get it on there once, but it's a task for some of us dinosaurs. I hope to get the most recent one in there tomorrow. I also, we've wanted to report on where we are with the CSI. So I asked Dr. Crawford if she wouldn't mind just giving, I don't think it's going to be a long speech, but just kind of an update so the community knows where we're at and what we're working on.
Thank you.
Just a very brief update. If you remember when we talked about it in the fall, there were two vendors that the Department of Education was looking to contract with, one to perform the diagnostic review, and then the second vendor to support us through the improvement plan process and the monitoring of the improvement plan. Their original timeline had hoped that the diagnostic review would happen sometime in the December to January phase. They struggled to get the vendors selected, and we didn't have the diagnostic review happen until April, which pushed their timeline for everything back. So the first vendor that was selected was West Ed, which I think we've mentioned before. They did come in and they've done their diagnostic review, that including the on-site portion of it. That was completed just before spring break, and we are waiting for the written report. We had anticipated we would have it by now, so hopefully we will at least hear from them about when we're going to get it by the end of the week. In the meantime, the department has selected the second vendor, and that's demonstrated success. The good news with that is that it's also a company that we have some previous experience with and some contacts with that work with us. We use them for some of the things that we do for data analysis already. And they have reached out and are going to be hopefully setting up some of the initial meetings to look at things going forward. Because the timeline was pushed the way that it was, they did release some grant money to us before. It wasn't going to be available until after the review and then the plan writing. They realized that they ate up 5 months with their selection process, and so they released, we have, it's just over $115,000 minus roughly $4,000 in indirect costs that we need to do that we're going to be able to work with, and we've begun the planning process for the ways in which those funds can help us in our school improvement efforts. Absent the finalized report from West Ed, we're functioning using the four domains for school turnaround that West Ed developed through an analysis of what was effective and what was ineffective during the SIG time frame. And just to review for everybody, those four areas are turnaround leadership, talent development, instructional transformation, and culture shift. And you know, just making sure that we're aligning the activities that we're looking at moving forward with those areas. So that's kind of it in a nutshell right now. We're hoping to get that report and be able to report out to you on its contents shortly, and then really be able to, from that point, design that concrete improvement plan. We've got the skeleton of it, and following those four turnaround demands at this point.
So is the we have two vendors. Are we using both vendors for two different things, or is it they're going to go meet with us and one of them's going to?
The first vendor is the one that came in and performed the diagnostic review. Yeah. That was West Ed.
Yeah.
And then it's a handoff at that point. The second vendor is coming in to kind of help with
okay.
the monitoring of the improvement
okay.
plan based on the diagnostic
okay.
review.
Okay, now I understand.
The general feeling from the meeting
success.
That we had with the West Ed folks, that Bob and I and the building administration
mm-hmm.
and stuff were at, was that you know we talked about the shift in the leadership model, the need for targeted professional development, the look at a shift in instructional strategies
mm-hmm.
That aligns with those things, and you know, kind of the last comment in the meeting was these are the things that are on track with what we were anticipating putting in your diagnostic review, so but we don't have the written report yet, so
okay.
I don't want to report out on it too far in advance.
Okay.
Anybody have any other questions?
I think just for sharing with the community too as well, I think a lot of us know, but they pretty much were meeting with parents, like a lot of key stakeholders, you know, staff, administration.
Yep, the diagnostic review included interviews with all stakeholders.
Board members, yeah.
And surveys and other components that were done.
Any other questions or comments for Dr. Crawford? Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
thank
Dr. Crawford.
You.
Appointments, leaves, and resignations.
We have an updated version.
You have an updated version.
Correct. It's attached to the minutes
yep.
that we should have.
Any questions?
Updated copy? Just with the minutes. Printed copy.
This?
Nope, it was separate. You should have had a copy.
Never mind.
Carol had it with us with the minutes. You can have this one.
Okay.
Get it. Sure.
We had a lot of stuff tonight, Paul.
Yeah, we have a lot of papers.
We got a lot of trees.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Any questions on that?
I just wait for Paul to finish. Good to go?
Go ahead, yeah.
We're pretty much at, I think we're pretty much at a full team, leadership team for the elementary school, about to, I don't know, after the fall.
Well, actually, we've got some positions filled, but not all.
Okay.
We're still in the process of doing that. The nursing position, and we have two elementary positions to fill.
Okay.
So.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we had interviews today. For
the teacher business. Positions?
Yeah.
The two retirees.
Retirees.
Yeah. Okay, summer projects.
I just want to come to the board tonight to let you know kind of what we're planning on doing this summer, because there's some things that may see some stuff outdoors. You know, we're doing the typical stuff, refinishing the gyms, cleaning up all the rooms, waxing all the floors, all the usual stuff, hiring the painters. Our plan this year is probably painting some elementary classrooms. It's been about 6 years since we've done that, so we'll try to get down here and do some of the rooms. We usually do hallways, gyms, our larger congregation areas. Those are much easier to paint when you get into classrooms. It makes it a lot more difficult with the amount of stuff that is in the room at the end of the year. So a little more time consuming. So we try to do that every 5 to 6 years. That's kind of out this year for this building. We're doing some continuation projects, continuation of some drainage at the high school on the field. We did a project on the JV field last year over the summer, and that has helped that half of the field drain much better. This year we're looking towards the outfield of the baseball field, as well as one half of the varsity soccer field. Last year we saw some issues with having to move games to the JV field because that end of the field was too wet to play on. This year, with one of the rainiest Aprils, we've been lucky that we've only had to move one game. We haven't had to cancel any games yet. We still have a month left in the season, so we'll see how that plays out. But hopefully, these small things that we do help those fields out and then make our fields more playable. What we're looking at doing in the elementary school is we have, we've talked about this project in the past, and we built some money into the budget, not this last season, but the budget season before. So in this fiscal year, we have some extra money to do some projects. This year, we're looking at putting air conditioning into 6 of, I call them landlocked rooms. These are rooms with no windows. There's rooms around, or either hallway or rooms around them. It's our special ed rooms, 3 classrooms on the inside of the building, and then it wraps around the corner. Picks up potentially 2 offices and our nurse's office. So that's going to be something that we're going to look to do this year. Along with that project is expanding our building automation system. That goes hand in hand with the AC project as far as bringing everything onto the system that we currently have. That includes bringing all of the heating coils, so we'll better regulate the heat in the wintertime, and we'll have obviously cooling now down there, so we'll be able to regulate that all from one location through our building management system. And that's what I have right now. Again, we're still a month and a half until summertime, so I'm sure there'll be some other things that come up, but that's the big stuff.
Any questions?
No. There were several smaller projects that we were looking at with HVAC. Is any of those on the agenda for the summer?
This is the one that we've talked about for a couple of years now. So this is the one that we're gonna get done this year, and then move forward next year and continue with those smaller projects.
Yeah, I think the high school ones were significantly larger too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank
Laurie.
You.
Okay, so the audit is still in the review process. They have to do a quality control review because it's A133, as well as the partner review. So I don't have any more definitive information on that. And then I had a budget transfer request that came up the very end of last week. And it's for out-of-district tuition that's needed for somebody who was placed in February. So it wasn't in the packet because it just came up.
Okay.
So I was able to work with Patty today and figure out what we're going to do with the funding. So we have some monies left in the summer program, in the special ed summer program for the middle school. So I wiped out those. I'm proposing wiping out those line items and moving it into the out-of-district tuition. And then we have some funds available in the special education professional services for middle school that I'm proposing that we move from that line item into the tuition line item. And it's $15,000, so it does meet the threshold for requiring board authorization. It's not a huge amount, but it is something that came up this spring, and we just received numbers last this past week.
So we're confident. I'm just not familiar with us moving money like this.
Okay. Well, the summer school program's done. So
okay.
Next summer school would be in the next
So it's the last, budget. Okay.
Yes, so this would
yeah.
be
yeah. Okay.
at the beginning of the school year. And the professional services, I think we have 42,000 that's unencumbered right now. So taking 11,000 out we didn't feel that that's going to hurt it right now. We didn't need some of the services that we had anticipated when we prepared the budget. So it's all within the special education function, the 1200 function.
Okay.
And it's all monies that were designated for the middle school.
Okay.
Which is where the need is.
Okay.
So I have the signed document for you guys, but if you would consider taking an action.
Does that need to be action?
Yeah, I do require a board authorization for us to be able to post this and use the funds.
Tell me again where from the 11,000 is coming from, please.
It's coming from the special education professional service line. It's account 10-1200, and it's the 330.2.
You said 11,000 for special education?
Yeah, it's $10,950.09 to be precise.
10,000.
Can we do that next meeting?
Does it need to be done today?
I need board authorization to make the transfer so we can pay the vendor. Placement occurred in February, and then we don't get the invoice until much later. So we've received the invoice, and they want to be paid before the end of the year. So
So it's $10,950 for a special education, middle school special education transfer?
And then the leftover summer school part.
Yes.
Summer school.
Which was exactly?
There's $3,520.71 from the salary line. There's $274.10 from the FICA and Medicare line, and there's $269.50 for the retirement line. So the total is $15,014.40.
Yeah, without increasing the budget, we're just moving money around.
Yeah, we're not increasing the budget. We're not moving it outside of the function that it was designated for use.
Right.
So we're not moving it outside of the state account line category, which is as well.
So if I just say an action item of budget transfer for $15,014?
Yeah, I'm going to pass this down, but I wanted to hold on to it while I was speaking to it.
I think we need to name the line items in the motion, the accounts.
But she said we got to leave the year to do this.
No, I said that the vendor wants to be paid this year.
Okay.
So we need, there's a process, you understand the process, I've got to make the transfer, and then the requisition, and then the payables, and I'm not sure. It's special education, we have to pay it. We have to do this. I'm need to, I'm trying to abide by our policies and obtain board authorization and funding in the appropriate line.
I think some of it is the visual. We don't have it in front of us, and it's challenging for us. I know it came up last minute, but I think it's challenging to not have that visual to process all of it.
Does that help with it, though?
I mean, it shows it, documents it out, which line items.
Okay.
Did you, are you done looking at it?
Basically, the balance of two funds, so we
did
don't have those funds anymore.
No, I get it.
For okay. this year, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think for me, it's visual. I just wanted to, and I wanted to make sure everybody else had.
And literally, this was signed right before.
Okay.
Yeah, choosing the packet.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
It was the last minute.
Okay.
If it was something that I felt could wait.
Understood.
Right.
Understood.
I don't know if it's fair to ask this question at this point, because you probably don't know, but is that issue that is required of the transfer potentially, is there a potential that we could, that the cost could decrease?
It's already done in it was done in February.
Right. As if this covers us through the end of the year?
To the best of my knowledge, I have an estimate of X number of days at a daily rate to take us through the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have the crystal ball, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
What else? Anything else?
No, nothing else.
Do you have anything else?
I'm good.
Okay. In the second packet we got, we have minutes from, so in this packet, are there minutes? That Megan emailed us electronically.
I move we wait till next meeting to approve.
Okay. Anybody have any questions, any concerns about that? We did just receive them this morning. Okay. Public comment. Any public comment? Yes, John.
I'm a little confused about this plumbing project being about, a figure of about 40,000 was mentioned.
46, I think, is around
that. And only half of it's needed, which is like 20,000.
Potentially.
27,000. And then later I heard the Spillies speak about extra money being available in the maintenance. So I guess I'm not understanding why, especially if it's such a small amount of money, and I mean, because the maintenance budget is like, you compare it to 20,000, it's huge. So I don't understand why there's a need to tap into the emergency fund. That money is there for emergencies. I know at one point it got extra large because of the way some warrant articles were presented to the public by the board. This was a few years ago, so when it got up to 350 or something, so there was a feeling among some board members that it needed to be brought back down. So spending, you know, feeling free to spend it when you legally could, but if it's down in the area of about 200,000, that's probably a reasonable amount to keep in there for an emergency. I'm sure if you had a sudden roof event or I know one year you had to pay people to shovel the roofs and it, you know, got up quite a bit of money. So I don't see any need, I don't see why you would take it out of there. Like Rich said, there's no need to rush to take it out, certainly. Being that you usually have some sort of surplus, I can't imagine if you do have any kind of surplus that 20,000 couldn't be covered. It's such a small amount in terms of how much you usually have in the surplus. So I would urge you to at least wait on it, think a little more about not taking that out, and that certainly should be something that's covered by part. That's the reason you have a fairly large maintenance, you know, line item for repairs to cover things like this that come up, and that's not out of the range of costs that you would normally be expected to pay for out of your budget.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Any response?
Well, just again, we already voted on it. I think take it out of there. Plus, some.
Wait a minute. We voted. We had a public hearing saying that we got the public's approval to take it out. But it's optional whether we do or not.
I like to go with the public's approval.
That's all we got. Is a public's approval to take it out. It's up to us whether we take it out or not.
Well, no, we had the public hearing to have the approval.
That's not getting public approval. That's just the handful of people that were there that night may not have said they had a problem with it.
Okay.
I unfortunately wasn't able to attend that, but I'm telling you right now, as a member of the public, and probably the only member of the public that expressed an opinion one way or the other, don't do so. So now you have the disapproval of the public.
Any other response to public comment? Okay. Action items. Is there a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Here's the loaded question.
I'm going to say
five.
Yeah.
The plumbing funding project. Do we want to vote tonight, or do you want to wait?
Vote tonight.
I'm okay. Voting tonight.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the plumbing funding project from the emergency trust?
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Abstained? Motion passes 4-1-0. We don't need to vote on the policy, right? Because it's just first reading?
It's a first reading, so yeah.
Okay.
We'll be back around.
Okay. All right, I'm going to butcher this just because I am. Budget transfer of $15,014.40 for the middle school special ed, or do you need to call out every single account?
Does that have to be broken down?
I don't think it's typically broken down.
As presented.
As presented.
That's the magic sauce. I'll watch it.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay. Motion passes 4-0-1.
Could I get a copy?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can get a copy.
Yeah.
Do you want to look at it again?
Actually, that'll be attached.
Yes. I think that's it for action items.
Policy. Are we going to do the first reading of the policy?
We just did.
Do we have any?
We voted on it?
Do we need to vote on it as the first?
We have to vote.
Yeah.
Do we vote on the first reading?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We did.
No, we didn't vote. We should. Okay. All right. Is there a motion to approve the first reading of the DAF Administration of Federal Grants Funds policy?
So moved.
Second?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Okay. We do have non-public. First one being which letter?
Okay, the first one would be RSA 91A:3, Roman numeral 2, C.
C, okay.
Yep.
So we are going to go into non-public at this time.
Can we take a little break?
Yes, we can take a quick break, and then we'll come back into non-public.
Vote to go in?
Yes.
Vote.
Can you do attendance?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Yep. Rich Pelletier.
Present.
Carla
Iodonisi. Here.
Chris Bauer.
Present.
Catherine McGinn.
Present.
And Paul Fodder.
Present.
Okay. Do we have to make a motion for that?
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So we come out of non-public.
Okay. Yes, Jim. Thank you.
Pass.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jim.
A motion to seal the minutes.
A motion to seal the minutes.
I'll so moved. I meant to say it.
Second.
All those in favor to seal the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
What are we eyeing?
Sealing the minutes. I feel like my brain just shut off. So I feel like. All right, so we're going back into non-public?
We're going to a different one.
A different one for RSA. Oh, I thought we had another non-public.
This could be considered a non. No, this is this. This one is actually under I.
For one, consideration.
193, RSA 91A3, Roman numeral 2L, because it's legal
okay.
advice.
Okay.
Okay.
So you got to do the roll call.
Can we do roll, please?
Rich Pelletier?
Yes.
Herla Iodonisi?
Yes.
Chris Bobber?
Yes.
Catherine McGinn?
Yes.
Paul Plotter?
Yes.
Okay.
No, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Bye, Lord. Motion to seal the minutes?
So moved.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? All right. Is there another one?
Nothing's really
on. Yes, you have to. We have to go into another one. This one okay. we may actually have to go upstairs for, but I'll do my spiel here first.
Okay. All right. So what's the letter? Is there a letter?
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Yep. It's A.
RSA. Okay. So A?
Yep.
Can we do the roll?
Rich Pelletier?
Yep.
Carla Iodonisi?
Yes.
Chris Bobber?
Yes.
Catherine McGinn?
Yes.
Paul Plotter?
Yes.